Welcome to the Daily Sales Show, hosted by Sell Better.
Hey, Jen, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Sydney?
I'm doing great. I am really excited for this show. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining. Welcome to today's Daily Sales Show. We're going to be going through 7 cold email templates that you can take home and use right after the show. So super excited to get into that. As people are coming into the room, would love to hear where everybody is tuning in from. I'm currently in North Florida. Where are you today, Jed?
Right outside of Detroit, Michigan. If anyone is in Michigan, let me know in the chat. There's always one or two, I feel like.
We have a Boston, an Austin. Also, everyone, if you can change your chat settings from hosts and panelists to everyone, that way everyone can see where you're turning in from. Oh, we have someone from Ukraine, Atlanta, Southern California, another Boston. Ooh, a Tampa. We were just talking about how much we like Tampa. So thank you for tuning in today. Cool. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for joining. I know it's a Friday, so we're going to get right into it. We want to give you as much value as possible through the call. So we're going to be running through some really specific examples, but we're also going to have a few minutes at the end for Q&A. So if you have any questions on anything that we go through, be sure to throw those in the Q&A box, and we'll be able to get to those towards the end. So today's guest really needs no introduction. If you've done anything to do with prospecting or outbound sales, you've probably come across Jed Marley. He's a founder of Practical Prospecting, has years of experience helping teams build out their outbound sequences and doing just all of the things that we're talking about today. So every email template that he's going to share is tried and true. So we're really in for a treat today. Wanted to say a quick thank you to our partners. So today's show was made possible by Magical and Zoom Info. And today's drop of the day is from Zoom Info. You can see it in the chat. They're helping out with some intent data to help you turn your cold calls into warm calls, because even though we know that emails are great and super important, a multi-channel approach is really what takes you across the finish line in your outreach. So be sure to check them out, and thank you again for making the show possible. And then if you're here, you probably already know that we do the show every single day. So many amazing guests like Jed coming on and sharing their knowledge. On Tuesday, we have a prospecting masterclass. If you want to figure out how to take things like you're learning today with the emails and put them together in a multi-channel approach, that's going to be super helpful. But you can also scan that QR code on the screen, see what shows we have coming up, check out our YouTube page. Jed's done a lot of great courses that are available there on demand. So be sure to check those out. And let's jump right into our agenda. So we're going to talk through 7 specific email templates today that you can use in your outreach. But before we get into those, would love to hear what role everybody has. So we're going to send a poll out now. Let us know if you are an SDR, an AE, a manager. Really helps us know kind of how to tailor this conversation. So appreciate you participating in that. But a few things we're going to run through today, some emails you can look forward to. We're going to talk about a creative way to take advantage of an out-of-office email. Jed has some really cool ideas around this. We're going to talk about ghosting. We're going to talk about bump email examples. We're going to go deeper than just the any thoughts. So it's going to be really helpful for your outreach. And we're also going to hear from Jed about how his team has actually used these emails to boost their reply rates and engagement rates. So you'll see, you know, like the actual template, but then understand in practice why it's going to work. So you ready to jump into it, Jed?
Yeah, let's do it.
Cool. So very first email here is the referral template. Can you walk us through this one?
Yeah, for sure. So also, yeah, I mean, Cindy, you explained it well, but just for context, these are templates that I've used throughout my career. My SDR team has used. We've kind of tried and tested a bunch of different things. One thing I will say as a note for everybody, none of these templates are perfect, and I can't promise you they're going to work specifically for you. And I would also hope that, you know, you take these, you make them your own, you change your own language, and it's not just copy and paste, because there is no silver bullet template, but these are just good examples of what have worked. So this one actually came from one of my SDRs, Dasanka. You guys may have seen her on LinkedIn, but check her out. She was with me at Mailshake. And the idea here is that anytime, you know, most email replies are not positive, right? Most email replies are not immediate booked meetings. And so the idea here is to take advantage of every single interaction you have with a prospect. And so anytime you get something that's a not interested, as long as it's not like F off or unsubscribe, right? Completely like throw it out the window type of reply. As long as it's not, you know, super negative. The idea here, especially if you sell into tech, because people are changing jobs so often, look at that person's last company on their LinkedIn profile, do some research as to who you think might be a good prospect to reach out to there, and say, hey, you know, first name, no problem for not being interested. No, it's not your job to help salespeople, but do you mind me asking if you think whatever their previous company was might be a good fit considering your experience there? Or you could say, do you think that, you know, the previous company might be experiencing some of these problems based on your experience there? And then if you want to take it the extra step, include that bonus snippet that we have at the bottom. I did some research and thought prospect, whoever that person's name was, would be a good person to talk to. Now, you're not going to get a crazy high response rate, but what I would recommend doing is like bulk sending these. So like every other day, you take all these not interested responses, you spend like 10, 15 minutes just firing these out. And what you'll often find is that a lot of people are open to being helpful, right? And they'll say, yeah, sure. Like they might give you some insights. They're not usually going to give you a direct referral, but they'll give you some insight. They might give you a piece of information that's helpful. And then you can go reach out to that company and say, hey, I know so-and-so used to work there. I wanted to reach out because I thought this might be helpful. And so this is just a template for pretty much taking advantage of every, customer interaction you have.
Yeah, this is awesome. And I like reframing the mindset of like, oh, if this email doesn't book a meeting, like, what was the point? Like, no, you can still use it to get more information. And so everything, it's just like cold calls, right? If they don't want to book a meeting, you could still learn a little bit more. So this is really clever. And I really like the idea of including the potential prospect's name, because you don't want them to have to do a lot of work. They're just like, oh, is Jed the right person to reach out to? Actually, yeah. Like, they don't have to volunteer that information.
Exactly. Make it as easy as possible for them.
Yeah, I love it. We did get a question in the chat from David. I was curious about your reply rates per template, like just kind of a ballpark. If there's like, I know it really varies by industry and product. Is there any kind of ballpark you can give of what's a good reply rate?
So I'll go through for all these templates. I'll try to give an example. For this one specifically, it was really my SDR team that was using this a lot, particularly when we were at Mailshake. And Tasanka, the person I referenced, she was getting at least one or two referrals or like good responses from this per week. I couldn't tell you the exact response rate, but she was consistently getting people that would respond back to her at least a couple a week.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's ripple effects too, like learning that information, being able to multi-thread, like it's going to be impactful even if it's not just a reply. Cool. And then as we're jumping into the next one, Stefan also asked in the chat, will these templates be going out after the webinar? Yes, like we'll have a recording of this call, and we also have this in a nice PDF that Jed has put together, so you don't have to worry about writing everything down. Cool. So now we're going to jump into our ghosting template. I know it's everyone's favorite thing, right? You're having a great conversation with your prospect and they just don't respond. So what do you do there?
Yeah. So I didn't see what the poll results were, but for the managers on this call, this one is for you. Or if you're an SDR and AE, this is something you can use and have your manager send out. I did this for my whole team. Okay, here we go. So we got what, 8% from, all right, we got about 20% in leadership roles. So there you go. This is something that I used all the time, particularly with my AEs and their closed loss deals or SDRs and meetings they had booked. And so I would do this like once a week or every other week, and I would just send out these emails. Sometimes I'd put a little bit more personalization into it, but the subject line was just called feedback, and it was for all the deals or meetings that ghosted us. So I'd say, hey, saw you talk to whatever my rep's name was the other week about whatever information we had, whatever problem that came from that deal. I'm curious if you had any feedback for us. Helps a lot as our team is still new and growing. Happy to send a gift card for the help. You don't have to include the gift card line. I can't remember what we used. It was like Sendosa or something. And so I figured if this helps get some responses, I'll send it out. But I actually got a really good response rate from this. It was honestly close to like the, I'd say maybe 10% range, maybe higher. But I'd get a lot of responses from these and just get good information. Lots of times people, if they ghosted the rep, they might not ghost me. And they would give some extra information. They might have just got busy, or they gave us valuable feedback that they, for whatever reason, didn't want to give the rep that helped us either improve our product or our sales process. And so this is just a really simple template to send out to get a few people back, but also get really helpful information for how you can improve your sales process. Because oftentimes when a prospect ghosts a specific rep, they don't want to reach back out. They feel like they did something wrong. And so if you can have somebody else chime into the conversation, they're a little bit more comfortable with speaking with them.
I love this because you're not saying like, hey, why didn't you respond to my rep? You should be meeting with us. You know, it's a lot more like, I noticed that you talked to them, you actually referenced the problem, so it's top of mind for them, because there's a decent chance they're not going to remember who that rep was anyways. They have so much going on. Yep. In their day. So this is brilliant for so many reasons, because you can fit all of that into a short email. In terms of that, helps a lot as our team is still new and growing. For reps who are maybe on more established teams, and that doesn't feel like, do you have any other lines you might use there?
Yeah, so like this was literally copy and pasted from my last company, and we were very much a true startup. I mean, you can change this however, like maybe the rep who you're asking about is new there, you know what I mean? Or they just got promoted. You can say, hey, this rep is new on the team and just trying to get some feedback because, you know, they're still starting out. That's another example. Or you can just leave it out. Like, curious if you had any feedback for us. It just helps a lot. You know what I mean? People like to do a nice thing. So, you know, I don't think you have to worry too much specifically about that, but it obviously just depends on your situation.
Yeah, no, love it. Okay, so it's a challenge for our reps in the room today. If you have somebody who's been ghosting you, propose this ghost template to your manager. They'll definitely, I'm sure they'll be willing to help because it should get them re-engaged. Stefan in the chat says that their new VP has started having them engage him with their ghosted prospects. So that's great. It sounds like this is kind of catching on. And for any leaders in the room, like, this is a great strategy too. Cool. So let's jump into that dreaded out of office email reply. And I don't know why I feel like I've gotten a million of these recently. I guess it's like spring break time. So Jed is jumping into this one. Would love to hear with our poll, what do you do with out of office emails? Like, do you respond to them? Do you record their contact info? Or just let us know in the chat if there's any useful information you pull from those. But Jed, if you want to let us know how you run through this.
Yeah, really curious to hear what you guys do with out of office emails. So yeah, same thing. Obviously, around the holidays, you're going to get a lot of them. And this is something I did like early on as an SDR because I was getting a lot of out of office emails and I sucked at email in general and I wasn't getting many responses. So it kind of goes back to the thing I said in the beginning, which is like make the most out of every interaction and every touch point. And so what I started doing is like at the end of the week, I would just take all my out of office emails or at the end of the day if I had time. And what I would do is a lot of out of office emails say like, hey, while I'm out of office, reach out to this person instead. And so you can call it sneaky, you can call it whatever, but this is just, when it comes to outbound, my opinion is you need to push the line and figure out where the line is. And so this is what I did. and so I would email the person that they referenced while they're out of office. And I would email that person. And the subject line was, while prospect's name is out of office, so while that other person is out of office. And I would say, hey, wondering if you can help me while this person's out of office. Obviously, you still want to include your research and your value proposition. Do you think they'd be open to a conversation or make more sense to chat with you first? So this is just a really good way to get your email open because you're just leveraging the information that they gave you in the out-of-office email and essentially turning it into not necessarily a referral because I'm not saying this person referred me to you necessarily, but it is going to catch their attention. It is going to feel more personalized. This is obviously not just an automated spam email. And so as long as that second line where you have like your trigger, your research, and your value proposition is tight, it's going to have a high response rate because the open rate's going to be really good based on that subject line and what you're leading with.
We have a lot of great responses in the chat as well for how people are using their out-of-office emails. So Michael mentions that he reaches out to other contacts mentioned in the out-of-office if applicable. Usually there's a contact to reach out to. Sometimes use the name of the covering manager to add to my outreach for out-of-office emails. So like you're mentioning, like really using the information that's shared with them. David asks about forwarding the out of office to the other person. Do you ever do something like that?
I have done that. So I will like sometimes forward it and then on it and then just like literally include this template. So yeah, that's a great strategy as well. And honestly, I feel like that's done. I don't know if I've done that as much, but I feel like that would just overall be a better strategy because you can literally see the original email.
Yeah, we have another question here. Like, would you like respond to the original email so they can see the content or do it as a separate thread? Go ahead.
So yeah, no, I would respond to it and then respond to it and actually CC the person. So I think in that case I would respond and CC the other person that they're mentioning in that email.
Okay. Love it. A lot of great content there. So as we're coming up on summertime, I know all of you are going to be seeing more out of office emails. And this is going to be a great way to take advantage of them. So Absolutely. Let's jump into our next one here, this feedback template.
Yes. So this is something that I did right when I started at my last company because we were and this doesn't matter if you're at a newer startup or a bigger company, but it was a startup and I was trying to build an outbound motion. And oftentimes what happens like when you're trying to do outbound or get it going for the first time, you have a lot of assumptions on what messaging is going to work and who to target and things of that nature. But you don't really have any real data because you don't have a ton of customers. You maybe don't have a ton of inbound leads. And so that's what I had to do at Mailshake was like figure out what messaging was going to work. And instead of just like starting to send out a bunch of messages and just emails and calls and just trying to see what worked that way, I decided I would reach out to who I thought was my ICP and essentially send them this template. So I sent this as an email and also as a LinkedIn message. I actually got a lot more success over LinkedIn with this. And obviously, if you're doing LinkedIn, there's no subject line. But for this example, the subject line is feedback. And I would literally just say, hey, Sydney, let me preface this by saying I'm not trying to sell you anything or book a meeting. I was just hoping to get some feedback from you as someone I would normally sell to. I'm building the sales team at my company. We compete with tools like X, Y, and Z. I'm sure your team uses one of them. I'm genuinely curious what, if anything, would it take for you to consider an alternative? Any feedback would be greatly appreciated. This template killed for me. The response rates were extremely high. I can't remember the exact number, but I just kept doing it for like a month. And it just, what ended up happening was a lot of people will just shoot me a message either on LinkedIn or email and just give me some quick feedback. Some people actually offered to jump on a call with me, which I didn't even ask for. And they gave me a lot more in-depth feedback. And then the third thing that happened was people actually asked me questions about what my product does because they were using one of those tools that I mentioned and they didn't love it. And I actually ended up booking a lot of meetings from this template. And so it's really effective. It's something that I've continued to use as I consult with different startups now as well. And really what it does is just the primary goal is it's supposed to help you figure out like the best way to understand what messaging is going to work is by literally talking to your customers. So that's exactly what it'll do. But then the second thing that happened by accident, I guess, is that I actually was booking meetings as a result. So probably my favorite template out of everything we're going to share so far.
Yeah, we have some fire emojis in the chat. No, this one is great. And I really like how you talk about, like, what would it take for you to consider an alternative? That's the ask instead of, you know, what would it take for you to consider a meeting? Like, are you interested? Because then, yeah, you really might get some useful feedback. And I also really like this because I think a lot of times the advice we see on LinkedIn around cold emailing comes from like well-established companies where they have a lot of customers and data and stories that they can use. Whereas if you're at a smaller startup, it kind of feels like you're just on your own to figure it out. So if you can do something like this, like I really love that you're sharing this because I think it impacts a lot of people.
Yeah, 100%. Like you can't just take what everyone else is sharing on LinkedIn or whatever. You can take it and like even what we're sharing today, like take it with a grain of salt, test it. But like the best thing you can possibly do is figure out how to talk to your customers. Or if you don't have customers because you're that small of a startup, you don't have a ton of customers, it's asking people just for feedback and that'll get you super far.
And this is great for the managers on the call too. Like if you're helping your team build their messaging and you want to know like what the prospects are saying these days, that's going to be super helpful.
Yeah.
Cool. So let's move on to this third party bump.
Yeah. So, everyone, I guess put a one in the chat if you use like bump emails in your sequences. Put a two in the chat if you don't use bump emails. I feel like this is a hot debated topic, Sydney, because you know you and I have been in this game for a little while, and I know like a couple of years ago, or however long ago it was, like really short, like any thoughts? Bump emails were super popular, and that was like a super big debate. I actually didn't mind those back then. I think if your first email was fine, you could get away with like a short, like any thoughts on this. I'm not saying it doesn't work now necessarily, but I do think that the email game is super crowded now. Like there's tons of data showing that there's just billions and billions of more emails being sent per year than there was several years ago. And so we have to figure out how to stand out a little bit more. And what I like doing with my bump emails, and for those of you who aren't familiar with the term like bump email, I see it. Okay, I see a question. There we go. Answering your question there. It's essentially just a response to your previous email. So it's a threaded response. It's a reply to your other email. So it's not a new subject line. It's in one thread. And what I like to do, and again, this is an example I used at Mailshake as well, is provide some sort of value in my bump email. There's really two goals of a bump email. One is it's to get them to see your original email. And then two, it's to provide additional context or social proof around the problem you're trying to solve. And so what I liked doing with my bump emails was providing some sort of resource related to the problem we solved. So at Mailshake, a big thing we helped with was keeping emails out of spam. And so I said, did you see this resource? And the resource I would often send was, it was a HubSpot article on how to keep your emails out of spam. And the reason why I used somebody else's content as opposed to my own at Mailshake, so if you're sending cold emails and you're sending your own company's resources as opposed to somebody else's, it comes across as kind of biased, right? Because of course you're sending me your own information. But I would say, even sometimes I'd send my competitors' resources because I just wanted to show them that I was genuinely trying to help them if they had a problem with emails going to spam or deliverability. And the resource from HubSpot was genuinely a really good article. And so I would send that to them. I included some social proof and some metrics. And then I would say, happy to send it over if you like. Another thing you'll notice about these bump emails is that there's no like real call to action. I'm not asking for a meeting. I'm not asking for time with my sequences. I like to do like 50-50. 50% of them have a call to action. 50% of them don't, because I do think it's a little bit more of a pattern interrupt. It kind of takes the pressure off, and I'm trying to show the prospect that I'm genuinely trying to help them. The other thing is that I don't actually include the link in this. I've tested it both ways, but I want them to respond to get it. You can do it both ways. That was just the way I preferred to do it. If you do include a link, like you're including a resource in your follow or your bump email, make sure you have click tracking on for that, because what I like to do is that anytime somebody clicks on that link, I set up an automation where it sends a follow-up email a day later and says, hey, what were your thoughts on that resource? And you kind of go into a little bit more detail. So Sydney, I know I just explained a lot of things, but if you need me to clarify in any areas, let me know.
No, I think that was perfect. I love the call out of using somebody else's resource, because once again, it's great for proving that you're not going to be super biased and you're providing like actual data. But also if you are at a smaller startup where you don't have a bunch of resources of your own that you can share. This is actually what I wanted to ask about. Maybe you're at a spot where they don't really have much social proof or data they can share yet. Do you have a different idea for kind of that second line instead of the social proof?
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm trying to think.
Not to put you on the spot too much.
No, you're good. So what this actual email looked like when I was at Mailshake. So like the resource was, it was like 400 spam words to remove from your emails if you want to stay out of the spam folder. And so we actually were sharing that resource. We use it internally to remove spam words from our email copy. And so like what the actual template, the real one, was like, we just mentioned a company that we helped. And then we said, you know, they saw this improvement in their open rates. And so I guess you don't necessarily need that. You could just say like, thought it could be helpful given whatever research you've done, right? So that's another example. You don't necessarily have to have the social proof there. The main part of the email that makes it well is like providing a resource that's genuinely helpful.
Okay. Love it. All right, everybody, we're about to jump into what I think is actually the most controversial email template that we have here. So we'd love to hear a 1 in the chat if you use breakup emails and a 2 in the chat if you don't. And so we're going to run through Jed's take on the breakup email. We've got a lot of 1s. Okay. You are not alone.
Wait, was 1 using or was 1 not using?
Wait, 1 was, I think so. 1 you're, no, I don't remember.
Someone in the chat, let us know.
1 is using, I think, yes, 1 okay, is yeah. Perfect. Thank you, guys. It's Friday, you know? Yeah, so we have a lot of takers. 2 is not using. Perfect. Liam says, always break up. 2? Okay, so we have a pretty good mix in here. Jed, you are a fan of the breakup email, is that correct?
I would say so, for the most part. Here's what I'll say, because now I've been working with a lot of different industries, and I think it depends on who your ICP is. I think if you're selling to, it just depends. Like I've sold to like IT and engineering folks and people who just like couldn't care less about your emails, and they're not going to give you anything. And I think it can be a little corny in that sense. So maybe it just depends on your persona, but if you're selling to marketing, customer success, sales, those type of personas that are a little bit more customer facing, I would say. I have found good success with it. And this is just something I tried out. I got good success with it. My whole approach on breakup emails is that like, I'm not going for a meeting here. I'm not expecting a meeting. As you can see, a big trend with a lot of these emails is I'm just trying to get feedback and information to help me sell better in the future. It's not always just trying to get a meeting. And that's exactly what this does. So it just seems like my emails missed the mark for you. No worries. Can you let me know where I wasn't relevant and or how I might be able to improve in the future? Thanks a ton. Again, I'm not expecting a ton here, but if I'm doing a decently high volume email campaign, I'll get some responses and oftentimes I'll get helpful feedback, because going back to the core of what I think this call is about, what I've been talking about is that your customers have the most useful information that you could possibly get. And mm-hmm. Anytime you get a piece of information from them, treat it like gold. And that's exactly what this does. So something worth testing out for sure. And I saw good success with it.
So Lydia had a comment that I actually agree with. To me, when I see this, I don't see it as much of a breakup email. In my mind, a breakup email is like, oh, looks like this isn't a good fit for you. I'll stop reaching out, which I think doesn't really make a lot of sense, because let's be real, you probably are going to reach out again. So I think this is good. Like you said, like it's a low friction email. You're not asking for a ton. If they feel compelled to share feedback, they can, and that's going to be helpful for you. But then also if 3 months passes and you think it's a good time to reach out again, you can reach out without kind of going back on what you said, right? So I think this is a really happy medium where you're kind of you know, implying that there's going to be a pause in your outreach, but you're not saying I'm going to stop reaching out, and you're not like burning any bridges there, if that makes sense. Yeah, Lois says leaving the door open. So Elena asks what industries you've used these templates with. And I know you said you primarily use these at Mailshake, but you also have had a lot of experience helping other sorts of teams. So is there a few industries you think this would be most relevant to?
Yes, we've used this in like staffing and recruiting, which worked really well. Actually, we did use it for like an IT services, like consulting company as well. Some services, like service-based companies. There's like a media agency I worked with that we've seen good success with. I think it's less about the industry and more so the persona. So, you know, is it, I guess the way to put it in simplest terms, is it more of an introverted persona versus an extroverted persona? And I would assume like, I would say like engineers, IT, that sort of stuff is a little bit more introverted, and they're probably not as interested in giving you feedback. You know, they don't like email that much. Whereas the other departments I talked about earlier, those are a little bit more open to giving feedback. But just test it out, see what works for you. Again, change up the language a little bit. But to your point, Sydney, yeah, I would usually breakup emails. I wouldn't do the standard version of a breakup email where it's like really burning the bridge. It's just a shot in the dark to get some feedback.
Yeah, I love it. Like Dan mentioned here, the ones that come in hot with a, well, I emailed you 7 times and you never responded are kind of wild. But this one that you're doing seems like a perfect happy medium. All right. So we have a few minutes left and one more email template if you want to run us through this one.
Yeah. So this is more of like just a cold email. Like a first email, and it's just kind of like leveraging the direct report of the person you're reaching out to. And so whatever like software or service you're selling, if that is used by individual contributors, so I'll go back to, let's say, the Mailshake example again. It's a software that's used by sales reps specifically. So if I'm reaching out to a sales leader, I will say put their direct report's name, like their account executives, for example, in the subject line and say for direct reports name one and direct reports name two. So like literally put their name in the subject line. That would get a super high open rate because obviously that's the people they work with and they see that in the subject line, going to get their curiosity. Then the first line is thought they might find this helpful given whatever research about them I've done. Maybe they're just joined the company. Maybe it's, you know, given they're the only two AEs there at the company, whatever research that is, I want to like tie that into what I'm talking about in the subject line. And then in the next, I'm talking about typically whatever that title of those direct reports are. So typically AEs experience whatever problem it is we solve, and then highlight the status quo. So this basically means, this is kind of getting a little bit broader than the template, but when I say highlight a flaw with the status quo, one of the biggest things that's missing in cold emails is they're not calling out how the prospect is probably getting the job done now. Basically, we assume that they have a problem and they're doing nothing to fix it, or they have no way of fixing it, right? And so you need to like call out how you think they're currently doing that process. And then we fix this by solution, and then it's including social proof. So this is a very, like, there's a lot of like custom fields you have to include in this template. I would say like the biggest way to break it down, or like the biggest takeaway, is that if you sell a solution that is used by individual contributors, when you reach out to the decision makers there, basically frame your whole email around how those specific direct reports can use that solution and use their names in the subject line, because the open rates are super high and it kind of puts a picture in their mind of how those specific direct reports can use it. I've used this across a ton of different industries, by the way, and this is a really successful first email. And obviously the open rates are extremely high as well.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you so much for sharing. I've seen success in the past myself with doing something like this, where you mentioned their specific reps or their team members. Or even where I'm working now at Deal, we help sell like employment solutions. So I'll mention specific employees that they have in relation to how they're hiring them. And it generally does get quite a good, at least open rate. And then the messaging in here will help you get a great response rate. So we've just shared in the chat where you can find all of the email templates. So be sure to go ahead and download that. Can you see this Let's Connect screen? Something changed on my end. Okay.
I can, yeah.
So be sure to check out our website again if you want to see what shows we have coming up. Be sure to follow Jed on LinkedIn. He shares a ton of valuable content around outbounding if you want to learn more. And we also have, you know, Instagram, YouTube, all the good socials. We put out a ton of content every day. Thank you so much for spending your Friday with us. I hope you put these emails into use and find some great results. Thank you so much, Jed. Any final words for the people?
No, nothing else. Thank you, Sydney. And I hope everyone has a great weekend and puts these templates to use.
Sounds great. Thank you, everyone.